You are Locked On Rams, your daily Los Angeles Rams podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Rams Nation, what is going on? Welcome back to another episode here at the Locked On Rams podcast. It is your boy, your host, Sosa Cremenjas. As I mentioned, I am the host here at the Locked On Rams podcast, and I'm also a fantasy analyst at Pro Football Focus. And this is your number one daily podcast covering the Los Angeles Rams. Today's episode is an interesting one. Obviously, we're continuing down the rabbit hole of the 2021 NFL draft. We're going to continue covering that. But just before we dive into that, I want to talk about how NFL analyst Brian Peacock and former NFL scout Matt Williamson do host Locked On's Peacock and Williamson every Monday through Friday. Brian and Matt give you the national perspective all around the NFL, covering all the latest news and insight on every team, game, and move around the NFL. Get your picks, previews, and much more every weekday with the Peacock and Williamson podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Now it's time to kick off this Wednesday episode of the Locked On Rams pod. While we've got you, I want to introduce my guy, Brad Motter, the former host. He's on the other line with me here, and we're going to discuss everything interesting, obviously related to the draft. Like I mentioned a minute ago, we got so much stuff to get through. We're going to talk about our favorite picks, least favorite picks, potentially some sleepers that we see in this class. Maybe if we would have done things differently, going back throughout the draft and seeing where guys actually landed, talking about some of the biggest winners and losers on the team that actually probably won't have their spots affected by who was drafted. So my man, Brad, I know I enjoyed the draft, my guy. How did you enjoy it? How are you doing, brother?
Sosa, my man, what's good, brother? I am stoked again. We've been talking about this lead up for a long time, and bam, there it was over the weekend. And there's a lot to dig into, because right when that first pick came up and they go wide receiver, and I'm just like head to hand, and not so much as it's super disappointing, right? We'll talk about that, but it was like, this is what we talked about. You could prep all you want, you could mock draft it all you want, but you might as well start with something that you didn't expect at that first pick. So excited to see that they stayed there and made a decision, but we'll talk about those decisions they made. But man, good to be on here and kind of recap everything that the Rams did, because next, what do we have to look forward to? Like remote OTAs, or, you know, getting the guys together. Yep. Like the next big thing is week one football. That's about it. So it was nice to have this.
Right. Yeah. And, you know, you mentioned it. I mean, once again, it felt like a weird, you know, way out of left field type of draft pick. I mean, I was trying to brace myself. Like you said, you know what to expect, kind of, in the sense that you don't know what to expect. It's almost like expect the unexpected at this point with Les Snead and, you know, this Rams front office. And that's why I talked about wide receiver being a possibility earlier than people expected a couple of times throughout the past few weeks. And so, you know, I was bracing myself. I wasn't necessarily expecting a wide receiver that early. And when they did call Tutu Atwell's name, I was, you know, just as shocked as anyone, even though I knew the Rams were 100% going to draft a receiver at some point. They were going to profile with that smaller, you know, gadget style type of guy, exactly the profile that Atwell does bring to the table. It was still shocking. And it's always shocking when you, you know, get to see all these big players get drafted by all these teams. But I want to dive into the first topic here. We're going to talk about our favorite, least favorite picks of this draft, as well as who we think might actually be a sleeper, you know, maybe looking down the line in terms of week six, maybe week 12, a year down the line, 2 years down the line, 5 years down the line, who might actually develop that maybe we're sleeping on right now. So I'm going to kick it to you first. We can kind of do all three at once, and then you tell me how you're looking at this draft, some of your favorite guys from this draft, maybe your least favorite pick, even if it's just because of the value or whatever it was, and someone that maybe we should look at, you know, down the line.
Yeah, and it's crazy because I could take this so many different angles, from like my favorite, and we talked about this a little bit before we jumped on air here, is like I kind of leaned at like our first pick in Tutu Atwell, like for the dumbest reasons, right? I think he's got a fun name to say. He's a speedy wide receiver that we probably didn't need, but I go back to like my Madden style of how I draft, and like hearing some of the things that, you know, Les Snead and Sean McVay said about him. And Snead talked about the certain special wide receivers in this draft, and, you know, he was one of them. And looking at the next couple drafts, they don't see a guy like this. They want to go up there and get him. So that's kind of like maybe kind of leaning that way. But I think my favorite has got to be linebacker Ernest Jones. And most people are going like, what? Like we reached for him, and what are we doing drafting him? And, you know, I had him here on my board, and that's probably all right too. But I'm just happy we got a stinking linebacker. We didn't get anybody at O-line. We talked about the needs we need there. And maybe this guy walks in. I think you said it the other day. Maybe he walks in into an opportunity at a starting job and the best linebacker that we have. And then hearing some of the things that Les Snead and Sean McVay said about him. And again, this always makes me feel better. And they found different ways. And maybe their scouting report wasn't exactly what you heard across the nation. But they talked about him being an instinctual player and that he can move from side to side very well. And you know, I think Snead said that he's great in the zone. And he also has long arms and is quick and he can be used on the blitz and, you know, talked about the different things. Then McVay talked about his relationship with Thomas Brown, who was assistant head coach or who's our assistant head coach, sorry, and had been with him at South Carolina and the leadership and some of these different things that kind of put this piece of the puzzle together. So, yeah, maybe he doesn't really look pop out on tape for everybody. And he wasn't in this, you know, top, you know, 100 draft picks that you need to have. We got him at 103, and I think that was a position we needed. So I'm excited for that. My least favorite, this was tough because there were a lot of question marks throughout this draft, right? But maybe tight end Jacob Harris at 141. I like maybe some like kind of listening at what, again, Les Snead and Sean McVay said about him is that, you know, they think he can really fill a special teams role, but also have, you know, an opportunity to have an upside as some depth at the tight end position. They also like that he was physical. So if you want to move him in there for blocking, they want to bring him in to catch some balls, but mostly a special teamer. But I just thought, again, at 141, getting a third tight end when you just drafted a tight end the year before high, I just think there was, you know, opportunity, maybe go O-line there or, you know, like some of those other needs that we talked about. So maybe that's my least favorite pick. And then like my sneaky favorite, which is funny because I'm going to scroll back up the board a little bit here. And I just like it because of his swag, his upside, and his size is cornerback Robert Rochelle at 130. Maybe mispronounce his name. I haven't been diving too deep into these guys, but I love him because of his size and how athletic he is. And he just goes and gets the ball. He may not be the most technical guy. And again, reasons why he dropped down to 130, coming from a small school, but I kind of like that chip on his shoulder. He has a Jalen Ramsey in the room who he said he tailors his game after that. He can now go hang out with every day and pick the brain, throw in Darius Williams in there to kind of help along. This secondary just got stronger, I think, with this pick. And this is a developmental guy, I think, that could be really good at one point. So that's my like under the radar, even though he was picked at 130, like that's my favorite guy to hopefully in a couple of years we look back and be like, guys, that was a great pick.
Yeah, and you are saying his name correct, just
for
the record.
Thank you. Woo!
And I'm going to continue with that train. I'm taking right over. We just swapped seats. I'm not riding shotgun no more. He's also my sleeper. You mentioned it. I mean, the guy physically gifted, you know, athletically superior to most human beings in the NFL. He's got a nice frame. He's got a lot of skills to really mold and develop. You know, you see the attacking the football in the air, all that stuff. I talked about it in the in-depth scouting report that I broke down on him a few episodes ago. Very impressive pick. Might not start week one. I don't expect him to. I don't think he's really going to play that much as a rookie. Maybe a little bit, mostly on special teams, maybe a few snaps on, you know, defense, but I think he's best as a boundary corner, and the Rams don't really need anyone on the boundary. Obviously, they do need a nickel, so I think it's more likely that someone like David Long or Dante Dion, some of the more experienced names, actually get the time at that nickel spot. Now, talking about the favorite and least favorite picks, you know, I kind of went back and forth with my favorite here. I want to go with Tutu Atwell, wanted to go with Robert Rochelle. I'm going to go with Tutu Atwell with my favorite. Probably not the greatest value. You know, I think nobody expected him to go at 57. Everyone was pissed when he got drafted that early because, you know, they could have drafted a starting center. They could have drafted so many other positions, and they went and got a wide receiver 5. I mean, that just sounds absurd, but I think he's really going to impact the game a lot deeper than what these statistics will suggest. Now, you know, we might look back in this draft, and I think we will in 2 years, 3 years, and be like, wow, he has 1,100 total yards, and Terrace Marshall, the wide receiver from LSU who got drafted 5 picks later or however many picks later it was, has 3,500. Like, that was a terrible pick. But the Rams don't need a traditional receiver, and that's why they added Atwell and not somebody like Terrace Marshall. So, you know, I think he's going to impact the running game a lot. He's going to help those guys out on those jet sweeps, the jet motions. I talked about how he was the most productive college football player on jet motions over the last 2 years. He's got the deep speed. And like you mentioned for Rochelle, Atwell is also going to be a guy that's going to get to learn from DeSean Jackson, who,
yeah,
coincidentally enough, was the first guy to be in that mold. The small, skinny guy that's never going to last in the NFL, never going to be healthy, and he developed into one of the greatest deep threats ever. Now, is Atwell that? I don't know. We're going to find out. And he is a lot lighter than DeSean Jackson was coming out. I think Jackson might have been like 160, 165. But it's good to get, you know, a very legitimate guy in front of you that has done it. You get to actually learn from them. And so that's going to be my favorite. I think he's going to have a major impact on the offense, much more than the statistics will indicate. Though I do think he could also be statistically productive. Now, talking about my least favorite, it's going to be the opposite of where you went, which is Ernest Jones. And I like addition of a linebacker, you know, like you said, probably going to start from day one, to be quite honest with you. I think he should. And if he doesn't, that would be very disappointing to me. So I think he will. So that's good. You know, he fills a need. He fills arguably one of the biggest needs and the weakest spots on the roster. But I just think there was so many different names that I would have went with, even at that linebacker spot. I just don't see it on the tape. And, you know, I'm hoping I'm wrong. There are some things that he does well that you can't teach. The eyes, the discipline, the instincts, the spatial awareness, like Les Snead mentioned, very, very good with his eyes. He trusts his eyes and he's really quick to diagnose and process things. So he has some of those skills that you can't really teach, and you can teach the rest, which is the technique. But man, it just felt like a reach to me. So that's why I kind of lean to that one being my least favorite. But it is interesting because along this line, we are going to take the next segment to talk about maybe, you know, would we have done things differently looking back at this draft, where we would have went maybe, you know, with that 57th pick, the 88th pick that they eventually did trade away, the 103rd pick, how we would have adjusted maybe some positions that they did not address that we would have otherwise addressed. And while we've got you, make sure to come connect with us on Twitter for all the coverage you need on the Los Angeles Rams. You can find me at QBsMVP. You can find Brad at LA underscore Rambling Bear, and you can find the page at Locked On Rams. Hey, Rams fans, listen up. NuGenix, the number one selling free testosterone booster at GNC, is offering a complimentary bottle to all football fans in America. To get your complimentary bottle of NuGenix Total T, text DRAFT to 231231. This unique man-boosting powerful formula is powered by Testofen, which helps boost free testosterone and total testosterone levels and increase energy and lean muscle mass. Plus, text now and they'll include a bottle of NuGenix Thermo, which is their most powerful fat incinerator ever, with key ingredients to help you get back in shape absolutely free. Text DRAFT to 231231. That's DRAFT to 231231. Message and data rates may apply. This episode is brought to you by 1010, a capsule collection of diamond rings that are responsibly sourced, limited edition designs at fair price points. 1010 is an exclusive collection of 10 creative styles of diamond rings designed by 10 of the most distinctive designers working today. Rings that are sure to bring joy into her life. Using only diamonds responsibly sourced from Botswana, 10 female design masters have each produced a uniquely beautiful ring. Ideal for Mother's Day or simply a beautiful conversation piece or engagement, they're the perfect way to bring light into her life. They're available now through Mother's Day only on BlueNile.com. Just search the words 10 by 10. If you're on the hunt for the perfect, unique ring show treasure forever, you're definitely going to want to check this out. They won't be around for long, so find them now by searching the words 10 by 10 only at BlueNile.com. Welcome back to the second segment of this 2021 NFL Draft Recap Wednesday episode of the Locked On Rams podcast. I'm your host, Sosa Cremenges, joined by my guy, Brad Motter, and I teased what we are going to talk about in this segment. And I mean, I feel like we could go a million different ways with this segment, to be honest, right? We're talking about whether we would have done things differently, maybe whether we would have addressed, you know, a different need that they didn't address, a different position, double dip at a different spot, take a player that we liked that they didn't like or that they didn't see fit. And so, you know, I mean, we could spend all day sitting here talking about, I would have did this, I would have did that. And at the end of the day, it's kind of an exercise in futility because, you know, we know how the draft turned out and they necessarily didn't at the time. You don't know who's going to be available at your next pick. And so it's obviously kind of a little bit difficult to do the projection game in live time, actually, while the draft is going on, as opposed to, you know, us looking back. But when we look back, I think the number one concern is probably the offensive line. That's what it is for me. I'm looking at that center spot, and it seems like the Rams are going to slide Austin Corbett to that center spot, according to Jordan Rodriguez of The Athletic, which is fine. But opening a hole. I mean, it might be. We've never seen him play there,
I guess,
right?
I thought the same thing about Austin Blythe when it was like, we're sliding him. Even though Austin Blythe had a little bit more of a background, I think when he was with the Colts, he was drafted as a center. And maybe Austin Corbett has some history at center that I just don't know about that gives the confidence there. But maybe the same type of, you know, form as Austin Blythe moving over. And I hope it works out like that, because that worked out pretty well for us. Mm-hmm. If you think about how long term of that, obviously there were some questions at times or whatever, but man, that is, you know, a big concern, and I kind of just jumped in there because I want to talk about Austin Corbett because it kind of freaks me out a little bit. But man, talk about a guy that came away as a winner or a little bit of extra pressure is sitting there. And thinking back to our last conversation, when we went the over unders at these positions, I was just kind of rethinking in my head, like, I think we both did over 0.5, but that 1.5 would have been interesting to see where we would have went. Obviously they ended up going over that. Cornerbacks, they went under. I think it was set at 1.5. They only got one, if I'm reading that correctly. Zero O line. I would have bombed that one. I think at one point I was tempted to go over 2.5 if it was offered for that plus money. You know, I'm always like, well, the plus money looks good. And then D line. It's just interesting to talk about how you kind of started this segment with, like, we could go a thousand different ways about what we would have done differently. And even just thinking about how we kind of thought it would play versus how it played are just kind of an interesting conversation. I think for me, really where I would have gone different right from the beginning is I love Tutu Atwell as the pick. I really hope it works out. I really hope that this ends up being one of those really super fun guys that ends up being just, you know, lifting this offense. But McVay's got to put some of his money where his mouth is, because they talked about, you know, getting this offense back up in the air. They went and got their quarterback. They added, you know, a speedster veteran that you talked about, one of the best in the game to go the deep ball. They go draft at their first pick last year in the second round with their second pick. They take a wide receiver. So he has got to start proving it, and he's got all the weapons to do it. Now, will we look like the Chiefs in the Super Bowl where, you know, Matt Stafford has 0.25 seconds to throw the football? I doubt it's going to be like that. But Tutu Atwell, I think the only thing I would have done different at the top was maybe try to trade back. And I'm sure they probably did, because, like you said, we thought that that was a little bit of a reach for Tutu at that spot. But did they get scared by the Seahawks taking a wide receiver right in front of them? Was that potentially their original guy that they loved? And then do you get worried about, like, the runs? You always see in the NFL draft, like, okay, someone took a wide receiver in the mid-50s, and then it goes like wide receiver in the next 3 out of 4 picks. Right. Maybe they're like, screw it, we can't afford to trade back at this point. Like, how much goes down in those draft rooms at the time is really so interesting. I love, I can't remember what team it was now off the top of my head, that showed the behind the scenes of him doing a trade, and he basically hung up on the other guy and was like, sorry, someone else is going to give me more. Gotta go by. And, you know, just like all the things that
the Denver Broncos,
the Broncos, like, I love that call. It was just like, he's like, I was trying to be nice in my head, but I creatively couldn't think of it. So I'm just going to spit it out like this and be like, no, screw you, bro. I'm going to get more on the other line. But the madness that goes into that first pick is just got to be fun to watch. So the only thing I would have just loved to slide back, pick up another pick and still get your guy, but they went and got it. And then the other thing would just be a little bit more offensive line. You heard so many times, there's so much depth in this draft for offensive line and even center. It's like, just grab one of the guys late and at least give yourself, what if Corbett gets hurt in spring training? Now, what are you doing? Now we're going back to Brian Allen, or now we're going to the free agent market. So, like, I just don't like where your one plan is like this guy shifting a position that we haven't seen him play at in the Rams. And I don't think he played it over in Cleveland. And now all of a sudden he's going to be your starter. And that's, you're putting everything on the line there. It's still a little risky for me.
You know, what's funny, you brought up a couple things that are now kind of racing through my head. You talked about the Seahawks taking a wide receiver, and there is speculation out there that, and Les Snead kind of hinted at this. He said in his presser post draft, and this is, you know, paraphrasing here, so it's not direct quote, he said enemies in front of us took some players that we really were interested in, and there were, you know, the Seahawks did well, I guess they could be considered an enemy, right? They are a division rival.
Yeah.
And they took a wide receiver, and apparently the Rams were very high on Dwayne Eskridge, which is the player that they took. And, you know, I think the Rams actually might have been settling there for Dwayne Eskridge. So it's funny that you brought that up, because could have been somewhat of like a panic type of pick, right? And you talked about it again with the run on positions, and it did happen. You know, you see Eskridge go, the Rams go with Atwell, the next pick, and then 3 or 4 picks later, the Panthers go with Terrace Marshall. And so I do think that first pick could have been a little bit of like a panic style of pick, where they didn't really want that guy necessarily that high, but probably figured, you know what, it's best to just get him a little bit early than play that dangerous game of, you know, we're going to gamble and try to get him later, and then you lose him and you just don't get him at all. So
now your whole draft there, is but twisted.
Like you, I would, then you're just like completely off the rails, just, you know, playing it by ear. But, you know, like you, I wouldn't want offensive line early. I thought Creed Humphrey, the center that the Chiefs ended up taking, I think it was like 62nd overall or something. Yeah. A lot of people thought he was going to be a first round pick coming out of Oklahoma, and went to the Senior Bowl, dominated, would have been a day one starter for the Rams. You leave Corbett at guard in that situation. You get a good center that you probably start for the next, you know, 7, 8, 9 years, however many years. Solid player. And the Rams passed on him. I guess they feel good about that O-line. Very, very surprising to me. I would have went with Creed Humphrey there, but fascinating in that regard. And if they did, you know, follow that plan that I said, you go with Creed Humphrey there, I'm fine with going linebacker next, which is what they did. I just would have picked a different name than Ernest Jones. I like guys like Jabril Cox from LSU, Cameron McGrone from Michigan. I thought there was a couple of linebackers there, Baron Browning from Ohio State, who went a few picks later, that were just a lot more qualified to be in that range and were valued a little bit lower than they should have been. So that was probably my gripe with that pick. And then, you know, continuing along that train, if the Rams really did go this way and still wanted that Tutu Atwell style of skill set, a guy that's going to line up in the slot, be explosive, take the top off the defense, make plays with the ball in his hands, offer that jet sweep type of stuff, you go with Jalen Darden from North Texas, the receiver right, who was one of the most prolific college receivers over the last few years. He gets drafted in the fourth round by the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and I'm pretty sure the Bucs know what they're doing, especially when it comes to receivers. They got about seven of them that are good, so kind of a shame to see that the Rams, not that they messed up, but I think they could have really had a much better draft had they just played it a little bit different. But again, this is just a projection. It's very hard to say. And, you know, they have a plan. And I think that's what we got to feel good about, is that they usually draft these guys with a plan in mind, how they want to use them, what they think they can turn into when, you know, their coaching staff gets their hands on these guys and start to try to develop these guys. So it is an interesting class. And, you know, they decided not to address some positions like offensive line that we talked about pretty much ad nauseum at this point. And I do want to spend that last segment that we have here on this podcast to talk about some of the biggest winners and losers on the current roster that, you know, maybe were addressed when it comes to the draft, their positions, or were not addressed. And now they go into this offseason as potential starters or guys that could be in a fight for their job. It's going to be very fun to take a look at that. And while we've got you, make sure to keep checking back in with us here throughout the next week at the Locked On Rams podcast. We're going to continue breaking down these picks with their in-depth scouting report for the Los Angeles Rams 2021 draft class. Baseball season is in full swing, and you can track all the action at BetOnline. This week has tons of sports action on the go as the NFL draft just passed, but the Kentucky Derby is back as the first leg of the Triple Crown begins this weekend. Get all the latest news, odds, and info for all your sporting needs, including MLB, NBA, NHL, and all your UFC and MMA action. Before the next pitch, head over to BetOnline on your laptop or mobile device and check out all the great sporting news, sign-up bonuses, and contest information. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore, as this is your chance to get into the game as teams prep for their runs to the playoffs. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. That's betonline.ag. The fitness industry is incredibly confusing and oversaturated with BS information. I'd like to think that my word holds a lot of weight, as I've lost 155 pounds over the last 2.5 years. And during that journey, I've been looking for the best protein bar, and I finally found a company called the Built Bar. I'm telling you guys, they make the best protein bars on the market. Not only is the texture out of this world and completely unique, but they have over 9 different flavors. You can never really get bored with the choices that they have. Not to mention, the bars are also healthy. They're low in calories, they're low in sugar. They have 19 grams of protein per bar. They're high in fiber, and they even work for you if you are on a keto diet. You'll even get a free cooler with the purchase while your supplies last. Just go to BuiltBar.com and use the promo code LOCK15, and you'll get 15% off your next order. Use the promo code LOCK15 for 15% off at BuiltBar.com. Today on the Locked On Today podcast, the draft is over. Who won? Who lost? That's the question of the day. Get more of the sports news you need in less time with the Locked On Today podcast. Follow the Locked On Today podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get podcasts. Welcome back to the final segment of this Wednesday episode of the Locked On Rams podcast. And Brad, I want to pick up right where we left off and talk about some of the guys that we think are the biggest winners and losers of this, not necessarily the draft class, but of the Rams roster currently as it looks, because certain positions were addressed in the draft. We talked about other guys like inside linebackers, wide receivers, all these positions, but certain positions were not addressed. And we talked about the offensive line being one of them. So when you look at the roster as it currently stands, and some of the names that may be on the fringe, maybe, you know, fighting for a job as a starter, whatever the case may be, who are some of the guys that you look at as potential winners after this draft class was announced?
Yeah, so one thing to keep in mind here, and this is a retweet from Jordan Rodriguez of The Athletic, and this is says, last year, 52 of the 255 drafted NFL players logged at least 500 snaps. In other words, about 20% had a prominent role as rookies. And that's something that's kind of crazy to keep in mind, as we're like so judgmental of all these picks and really kind of trying to break it down. How's it going to happen? Not many of these guys are going to come in and be instant threats, but you hope at some point some of these guys can get on the field and play. But maybe that kind of bodes, as we're talking about who wins and loses here, is to kind of keep that in mind, because you know, you expect the guy that's on the roster to have a really good crack at keeping his job. But I think we mentioned one of them earlier, Austin Corbett, moving over to center to kind of take that role on, whether that's a win for him or kind of nerve-wracking for him. But the offensive line in general, if you're an offensive lineman on the Los Angeles Rams, you got to feel pretty damn good that your job, and you're going to get some snaps and you're going to be able to compete for a job, because they didn't bring anybody else. So that whole offensive line really kind of came away as winners in this one, in my eyes. And, you know, a couple of the other guys that are interesting as well, and you kind of, and it was actually a tweet that I had from you that I screenshotted because I wanted to mention as another winner, I would assume, is you said, wrapped up the Robert Rochelle study. According to our PFF numbers, he had exactly one snap in the slot in 2020. I'm not sure this is a nickel play at all. And you put David Long Jr. arrow up, Dante Dion arrow up. And I think those guys are big winners then, if you're looking at this, as he is kind of one of those guys that is going to be kind of more of an outside guy. We're really set at that point. So maybe this was a depth kind of grabbing a player that you think can be great, depending on where you know, Williams ends up going next year, if we stick him around, or just a guy that kind of, like you said, always have depth at that position. So I think those guys both kind of came away as, okay, we can compete for that nickel. Maybe he goes in there and tries to fight for that as well. But I think those two guys, those position groups definitely had a kind of a boost of confidence at looking at the Rams draft over the weekend.
Yeah, and I was going to go with the nickel spot, and offensive line is a given at this point.
Sorry, I stole your tweet and used it against you.
No, it's all right, because I'll adjust on the fly here. And, you know, I was going to go nickel, like I said. I'm going to stick on the defensive side of the ball. I think more so that side of the ball is probably going to feel relatively comfortable. Specifically, I should mention the starters, but I'm looking at edge rusher. You know, the Rams didn't really add anyone to that edge spot. Maybe Ernest Brown the IV, by the way. I finally found out what that role was.
I was cracking up when I was listening to you talk about that, because in my head I was like, I can't remember. Is the I in front of the V means it's four? Does that mean I was doing the same? I was struggling as I was. I wish I could have texted you and been like, it's this, but I didn't know. So I'm glad you finally kind of gave the payoff there, because I was cracking up when I was listening to my car. You kind of walk yourself through that one.
Dude, I never learned it. I remember in school, in elementary school, we were being taught Roman numerals, and for whatever reason, it just never stuck with me. So I searched it up. It's four. All right, we're going to know it for the rest of the offseason, the rest of the season now. So didn't really draft anyone early at that spot. Ernest Brown, the IV. Maybe, you know, an edge rusher, maybe that tweener, maybe that Michael Brocker style of role, playing a little bit inside, a little bit outside. I don't really know what they're going to do with him. And regardless of what they do with him, he's only a fifth round pick. Like you mentioned, a lot of these guys are not going to contribute right away. And I don't expect him to play major snaps. So I'm looking at the edge rushers not named Leonard Floyd as all of them as big winners. You know, Terrell Lewis, I'm looking at Obo Okoronkwo, Justin Hollins, all of these guys, they got to feel good about going into this, you know, offseason, the rest of the offseason, going into training camp, all this stuff, and, you know, feel pretty confident with the Rams front office not adding anyone really at these positions. Now, you know, these guys are going to get a lot of snaps going into the season. The other spot that I think makes sense is, you know, I had trouble picking which name I wanted to go with here, but just safety in general, you know, Taylor Rapp maybe. I guess maybe Jordan Fuller, but I think he's pretty cemented in his role as a starter. Maybe Terrell Burgess, whoever you want to consider out of this group. I think all three of these guys got to feel good. Yeah. I think all three of them are going to find their way onto the field in those three safety packages that the Rams like to run. Probably all slated for pretty big playing time going into the season. And I think they should be. There are three of the best players on the defense, and the Rams like to get very creative on the back end there. These guys are all versatile. So, you know, you invested a lot into them, a lot of, you know, third round pick for Burgess, second round pick for Rapp. These guys should be on the field. So I like that they didn't really address the safety spot. They have arguably one of the deepest spots on their roster is that safety spot. So made sense to kind of avoid, you know, adding to that actual spot there where they're very stacked. So that takes us to the other side of the argument. When you look at the roster, is there anyone that you think stands out as a clear loser after draft week?
Oh, man. Like, I almost want to combo Van Jefferson and DeSean Jackson in there, because they were kind of that you know, who's going to step up into that third receiver role. And then maybe even you could say, like, in pieces, you know, Robert Woods and Cooper Kupp on that jet motion. Is that Tutu now that takes that? And maybe Robert Woods will tell you, like, take it, dude. I didn't want to take those handoffs as much as they were giving them to me and running around the corner and getting smacked by all those big guys. But, you know, as you think, that's one of the reasons they brought Tutu in. Like, each one of those guys is going to probably have to give up a little bit. Yeah, I don't think Tutu's going to rock in and just go like, yeah, where are my 30 snaps and let's go. But, you know, they might look down the line and go, all right, Van, instead of you cranking up that, you know, 30%, maybe you're now only cranking up 15% because now we got to give some more love to Tutu. And then same goes with DeSean Jackson. And he might be another guy like Robert Woods, you know, as I kind of jokingly said, he might be happy not to do those end arounds. But DeSean might be like, yeah, let's save my legs so I play 17 games, right? And let's try to get me, you know, a handful of looks. But then that's a guy who's feasted off getting the ball, like every wide receiver, throw me the damn ball, right? So is he going to feel like halfway through the season, I'm not getting enough touches, I'm not getting enough snaps, I'm healthy, get me in there? You know, like, I'm curious what that whole room, I don't think it's, those are the type of guys, right? I'm creating these like egos that none of those guys seem to have right now. But I think there is some definite question mark if you're Van Jefferson and DeSean Jackson about where some of your playing time's going. The other one that maybe you could stretch and say is just kind of in that D-line, D-tackle group behind Aaron Donald. You mentioned the edge, you know, maybe not be as nervous, but, you know, if you're looking at, you know, Greg Gaines, A'shaun Robinson, when you bring up a couple big guys and Bobby Brown and Ernest Brown and guys that have size, power, they talked about great against the run. And, you know, even mentioned there's some flashes of being able to get to the quarterback. So do those guys have to worry about, you know, like Greg Gaines, I think would be maybe a guy that is going, oh man, like I was kind of hoping that I'd get a chance. Maybe there's two extra guys in the room right now that are going to be pushing them to kind of get that spot. So those would be kind of my couple turning around, you know, looking behind your shoulder type of thing. But very interesting draft where, you know, I don't know if there's a whole, I may have chewed everything off the bone here for you. Let's see what you say.
No, you know what? I thought you were going to getting a little antsy there. I got a little antsy, but you left me two good ones that I think are going to make sense here. I'm going to go with, and I want to specifically highlight this man at inside linebacker, Micah Kizer, because nice. Ernest Jones is a very similar player. Like, they look very similar to me. The only thing that I think Micah Kizer might be better at right now is like the blitzing aspect of, you know, playing linebacker. And the Rams don't really, you know, value that a ton, I don't think. And so other than like those little twists and stunts that they run up front where they'll run Kizer just to kind of occupy an offensive lineman and let someone else come behind him and be free, you know, he's not been all that great for the Rams. And so I think that's why they invested in a guy like Ernest Jones so early. And when I look at the remaining linebackers, I mean, Troy Reader is not a starter. Kenny Young was a starter this year, but I don't think they meant for him to be. And Traven Howard, who's coming back from a season-long injury last year that he lost the whole season to, I think he's the best linebacker on the roster. So, and, you know, he's not very similar at all to Ernest Jones. I think he's in a tier of his own when it comes to the coverage aspect, and he should be the guy that's playing 100% of those snaps because he's so good in coverage compared to the rest of these guys. So I don't really think his job is at stake, but you never know with the injury stuff. And I do think Kizer was kind of put on notice here with, you know, a very similar type of player and very early. And the Rams have talked very highly about Ernest Jones so far in terms of the leadership and, you know, getting guys lined up in terms of the defense, things like that, that, you know, they value a lot, that every defensive coordinator values a lot more than just, you know, what do they do for me on the field in terms of tackle. So that is probably my biggest one. The next one, a little bit low key, but I think we got to keep our eyes open for this one. Bryson Hopkins, you know, I'm expecting him to be the tight end too. And I think that's probably what most people expect right now, but, you know, he hasn't played. He didn't really do anything for the team last season. And we don't know really anything about him. He's never played in the NFL to this point. He's only a fourth round pick. It's not like the Rams invested a ton into him. And he's obviously a question mark for those reasons. And then you look at a guy like Jacob Harris, who very raw. I mean, the guy needs a lot of time to really get the refinement and the technique down of playing tight end, partially because he played wide receiver in college. But I don't think that's what he's going to be in the NFL. But at the same time, you know, Hopkins is not all that developed either. And so it's like, yeah, one guy might be like a 6 out of 10 on the scale. The other guy might be a 5 out of 10. Right. So while I don't think Harris is necessarily ready to just contribute right now, I'm not sure how much more ready Hopkins is. And so, you know, they might be a little bit closer than I think some people are expecting at this point.
That's actually a really good point, because when you started saying that, and I don't know why I give Bryson Hopkins probably more love than he deserves at this point. And you're right. If you step away and look at the big picture, not too far away from where he was drafted. And a big thing, I think, to kind of just layer on top of this a little bit is, you know, Snead said when he was talking directly about Harris, he said he was probably our number one ranked special teamers in terms of coverage. Talked about how fast he is. So take also, and then if you go to the last like three, four picks, Les Snead said the same thing about all those guys. Even going to like Jake Funk said, oh, he's going to be a great special teamer. Ben Schoenricken, what's this guy's name? What's his Notre Dame kid's name?
Skowronek,
Ben Skowronek, like another special teamer. So if you were on special teams last year, which the Rams unit pretty much stink last year, you better be on high alert because your job is being come for by all these guys. All the guys they added in, the undrafted players as well, are going to be coming in there fighting for those. Those are the easiest spots to get on a roster, right? Are those kind of special team spots. So these guys that were drafted late, and as you talk about Harris and I mentioned Funk and a few of the other guys, like, they are coming for special team spot, and that's really why they were drafted. So that's maybe another one you could throw in there. Anyone that was on special teams last year didn't really do well. Obviously, we went out and signed, what, two punters in the offseason. Like, they're even coming at Hecker right now saying you better, you know, work on that leg a little bit. So that unit is going to have some big-time turnover as well.
Most definitely. And, you know, that puts a lot of guys on notice, and it's always good because competition is going to breed the best possible outcome, in my opinion, and the Rams are one of the best rosters in the NFL. And, you know, it's very interesting to see and look back at their strategy in the draft. We can't necessarily grade it just yet because we don't know what's going to happen. And ultimately, you know, if these guys develop, the Harrises, the Rochelles, the Atwells, then we're going to look back at this draft like we do with that 2017 draft where the Rams were, you know, talked about as being clueless. And you look back, you see John Johnson, you see Cooper Kupp, you see Gerald Everett. All these guys got paid, man. Josh Reynolds, all these guys contributed to an NFL offense. And at the time, you know, they weren't exactly lauded as being geniuses. So it's very clear the Rams are wise in terms of their plans here. You know, they have proper usage patterns and plans for development for all these guys. And so I think they have the benefit of the doubt when it comes to this stuff. And that does wrap up this Wednesday episode of the Locked On Rams podcast. My guy, Brad, it's always fun. I appreciate you hopping on. For you listeners, make sure to check back in with us throughout the rest of the week. We're going to continue to cover this Los Angeles Rams rookie class. We're going to continue our in-depth scouting series for all of these guys. And just a reminder, you can come connect with us on Twitter. You can find me at QB's MEP, Brad at LA_RamblingBear, and the page at Locked On Rams. Please subscribe or follow to get our latest episodes, content, breaking news, and a whole lot more.